Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Chuck Moraz, your host. We're joined today by Dr. Walter Blevins, Judge Executive for Rowan County. Judge Blevins, as always, nice to have you on the show.
Glad to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the jail, because we always do. And I know that I drive by there every day on my way to work and on my way home from work. And it looks like that they're making good progress on the foundation, thanks to a very dry fall.
It's been wonderful. The weather couldn't have been any better for us. When we had the groundbreaking, it looked like storms were all around us, but it cleared up enough to have a nice groundbreaking. And so far, the weather's been on our side. I hope it just remains that way. And we do need a little rain, though. Everybody needs a little rain right now to kind of keep the forest fires from popping up on us. So we're excited. We had one change order, and we always get change orders, but this one was a little over $300, so it wasn't anything major, but... So that's kind of change orders you're hoping for.
When you mention change orders, explain to people what that means.
Well, when you do a building, there's always things that maybe an engineer looks at or an architect looks at, and you got to go before the state. They look at it and they decide that's not going to work. You've got to do something different. I know just on the biggest change order we had was putting in manholes versus. Small little holes to kind of be able to clean some of the sewer system out. And we went ahead and changed that on our own because we just thought in the long run it'd be a lot cheaper in the long run to have to dig everything up if you had a manhole. Of course, we'll make sure that it's secure, that it can't be used as a manhole as an escape. But those are the kind of things that happen. You make a big project, multi-million-dollar project, there's always going to be some minor changes.
I think we talked about that change regarding the manholes. And how much was that again?
It's about $20,000, yeah. I think. Well, not a lot of money, but if you had to go in there 10 or 15 years later and have to dig it up and replace it, you're looking at a lot more than $20,000.
You mentioned $300, which is not much, but at the same time, what was that for?
It was something with the electrical type of wiring they were going to use in a certain area. It wasn't anything major. We didn't get into a lot of detail. It wasn't a lot of money, but it's something that the contractor felt like he had to correct.
Now, this inspector, will he come around periodically, and could you face more change orders?
Yeah, you know, like any time you do a project like this, you're going to see some change orders. They seem to happen more in the beginning of a project. Hopefully, we won't get many more, we're hoping, but you can't always guarantee that.
As most people can see, and you talked about a moment ago, is that when you drive by the site, you can see that the foundation is starting to take shape. So with all the dryness we've had for the last several weeks, do you feel like maybe the project is ahead of schedule?
I don't know if it's ahead of schedule, but it's not very far behind, if it's any behind. It's we've had good weather, and they're out there working very hard, and I think a lot of good things are happening.
Yeah, and we're getting to the point, too, where you have to start to worry about November, which is typically pretty wet around here.
Just never know. With the weather around here, it's hard to tell. I'm glad I'm not a weatherman.
Again, I think the timeline was to try to get this done by early 2018. Is that right?
I think that's correct.
It's still on track?
As far as I can tell, we're on track.
So you feel pretty good about that?
Yes, very good.
Okay. Anything else new regarding the jail, or many new agreements regarding some of the counties that you've signed contracts with?
No, I think all those have been signed as far as I know, and I think those are normally routine things because everybody needs a place to put some of their prisoners, so we sign those documents periodically, about every year.
You know, I know that the City County Recreation Committee has been looking at some of the surveys, and I guess actually they're going to take the surveys and give them to a marketing class here in Morehead State that will put all the information together for them. So we've talked a lot about perhaps at the building of a new recreation park here in Morehead and Rowan County, so I guess that process is about to take another step.
Well, you get the information, you find out what people are willing to do. There's not a lot of magic grants out there in Washington or in even private businesses to find money for these kinds of projects. It's very difficult. And if you want to have these things, or the people are going to have to figure out the way to pay for them, either in user fees or some kind of a tax increase that'll help pay for the kinds of things that the community here want.
What do you think the community's reaction to that would be? I mean, you're out and about. You talk to a lot of people. I know that we talked about that very issue at the candidate forum on Tuesday night, and a lot of people said, you know, the same thing you did. It may take a tax increase or a fee hike to make this thing happen, because as you've also alluded to, there's not a lot of grant money out there.
No, there's very little money, and of course we had to raise our payroll tax, and I mean, people think that when you say tax, you're never going to get elected again. I may not get elected again, but as far as people coming down and with pitchforks and fire bombs or grenades, we didn't have anybody actually come and speak against raising the payroll tax, because I think people realize that if you want a jail facility, which you want to continue to be a regional hub, and that's part of it, is having a nice facility that'll hold enough prisoners to make it hopefully save tax dollars in the future, that you've got to pay for it. And so no one actually showed up. Of course, we're hoping we're going to have more money to take care of some of the roads. We're seeing a decrease in road financing from the state and federal government. And if you want to continue to have blacktop roads and on your counties, people have to pay for it. And that's another way we're going to try to spend those dollars.
There has been a proposal that's gone before the legislature regarding a possible sunset tax idea, which...
The lift.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The lift tax. And basically it involves you can set a tax that pays for a certain project, and once the project is paid for, the tax dissolves. Where do things sit with that? That sounds like it might be a potential to help in certain situations like this.
I think it's a wonderful potential. I think about 37 other states in the United States use that because they're facing the same problems that Kentucky is facing. And I don't understand why the General Assembly won't let the people of Kentucky make that decision. All they have to do is put it on the ballot. It's not going to be no guarantee that it'll be passed by the citizens, but I think the citizens of Kentucky would like to have that opportunity. I think it's nothing but right to give the people of the Commonwealth a voice in what occurs in their community, and that's what it'll do. It'll be a constitutional amendment first by a statewide constitutional amendment to allow this to occur, and then every project, you'll have to have a referendum, a vote by the people, whether they want to impose up to 1% additional sales tax to fund these projects over 20 years. And once those projects are paid off, that tax comes off. Doesn't mean you can't put it back on again for another project, because 20 years down the road, there's probably something else the community will need. But it's a great tool that we should have. Other states have used it to their benefit, and other communities have used it to their benefit. And I hope that the General Assembly will give us that opportunity.
There's a key point to this. The public gets to vote on whether or not they want that tax increase. So they can say, nope, we don't want to do it.
Absolutely. If you can't convince enough people that this is a good thing, then they won't vote for it, and it'll never occur. So to me, it's letting it's power for the people, power to the people. And to me, that's what democracy ought to be doing.
I had a chance to talk to Mayor Jim Tom Trent, and this is another expense that's very critical to public safety, the new ladder truck that they're trying to acquire for the Moorhead Fire Department. Of course, that ladder truck serves all of Rowland County, and it's a ladder truck that's over 30 years old. It's starting to show its age. The fire department maintains it very well, but at the same time, it's a 30-plus-year-old vehicle. And when we discussed it, he said, we can't get that Homeland Security grant that Chief Jeff Anderson has been applying for. It's about $900,000 to $1 million, I guess. And he said, we may have to be more creative in the way we try to find the money for this thing. He said, maybe we have to talk to the county and maybe Moorhead State University and find ways to partner to get this thing done. How do you feel about all that?
Well, I think projects, when you're not going to find the dollars, I mean, it's putting everyone in jeopardy on having that type of ladder truck, especially people that live in two-story buildings and people that live in even higher buildings in the community. So, I mean, I'm willing to look at that. I know we talked about the money that we raised the payroll tax, that we were going to spend it on, of course, paying the debt on the jail, detention facility, and also for the roads, and also the other thing we were going to do is emergency services. That was for ambulances mainly, because we do most of the heavy lifting on the ambulance service. I think the city puts about $80,000, and that's about $1.5 million or $1.2 million budget, I think. And it's something that, again, we could look at in the future. I'm hoping we get those kind of homeland grants or other kinds of grants, or even low-interest loans sometimes. But I'm for that. I think that I could sell it to my court members if worse, if comes to the we can't fund it any other way, I think they'd be willing to maybe put their part in.
Well, and I think about Morehead State University in the sense that you have these high-rise dormitories, and the only way perhaps to get to someone who needs assistance is with a ladder truck, so eventually this is going to have to happen one way or another.
If you want to protect the people that are living in those dorms and protect the hospital as well, many other mainly those two buildings or those two facilities are the ones that probably benefit the most from it. But again, I'm hired to be the judge, and it's not for the county, but for the whole county and the city, and I'm willing to try to do our fair part.
There is a lot of pressure right now on the state because of the funding issue and the budget and all that other kind of stuff, but that stuff kind of slides downhill, as we all know, and it hits local municipalities, counties, and cities. And I know that the city's budget is tight, your budget is tight, and as you look forward in terms of creating revenue, what's the answer? Because you can only cut so much, I would think.
Yeah, these are tough times, and again, I'm glad my group, my court members, except for one, voted to raise that revenue that we needed for the jail and also for the roads and emergency services. And without that kind of commitment and that kind of courage to put a tax on, increase a tax on people, without that kind of courage, we wouldn't be building the jail facility. We'd just have, it'd be much smaller, maybe not, wouldn't be economically feasible to do it. You'd be nothing but just pouring out more and more money with not an opportunity to hopefully save some money by having a large enough facility that you can actually make some money and maybe decrease the tax burden on the people in the future.
What about the idea of tax reform? I know that's been bandied about by the state, reforming the tax codes. They say it could bring in millions of dollars to the state coffers on a yearly basis, yet it continues not to happen.
Well, I've been pushing that. If you can go back and look at any of my elections over the past 30-some years, over three decades, I've been pushing for tax reform ever since I've been in Frayburg because we have an archaic tax system. It's not fair to the – it's more of a burden on the middle class and more of a burden on poor people. To me, it needs to be changed. It needs to make sure that the wealthy pay their fair share, and I don't think they do that in Kentucky. If you look at our income tax, state income tax, it's not graduated at all. When you make over $10,000, you pay 6%. If you make $2 million a year, you pay 6%. To me, there should be some progressivity in that type of thing where if somebody's making, you know, $1 million in a salary, they ought to pay a little more in their state revenue to our state taxes so that they can make this state move forward and help the whole ship rise.
Yeah, and it's not just about income taxes, is it?
No, there's some other things. We need to look at more taxes that have elasticity in them. That means that as the economy grows, the tax base grows as well. And we're not seeing that in our tax base. It's when the economy seems to grow, it still doesn't grow fast enough to keep pace with the needs of the state.
Again, our guest today on Front Page is Rowan County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins. We'll continue our discussion with Dr. Blevins right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Morehead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Morehead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Hi, this is Morehead State Public Radio News Director Chuck Meraz. Hope you're doing well today, and right now I'm taking some time out from our programming to invite you to call or to go online and make a pledge of support to Morehead State Public Radio during our fall fund drive. It's easy to do. The amount, well, that's up to you, but we do need your support right now so we can continue to provide you with the best of news and entertainment programming that well, we feel as good as there is around, and we feel like it's an important service, and we hope you do too. But call, make that pledge of support at 783-2001 or 1-800-286-9659. Again, those phone numbers are 783-2001 or 1-800-286-9659. If you prefer the convenience of the web, you can also go to our online pledge form, and you can find that at our website, WMKY.org. WMKY www.mkhead.org. It's very simple. It takes you maybe just a couple of minutes to get on and off of there and then go on with your busy day and feel pretty good about the fact that you've helped public radio here in northeastern Kentucky not only survive but also thrive. But right now, it's up to you. If you really consider what we do on a daily basis important, we ask you right now to call, make that pledge of support. Again, you can reach us at either 783-2001 or 1-800-286-9659 or go to our website, wmky.org. I'd like to thank you in advance of your pledge and your support. Welcome back to today's Front Page. I'm Chuck Meraz. Again, we're joined by Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. And Doc Blevins, let's talk some about the Arts Center and also the old jail and the Veterans Museum, where a lot of work is being done as we speak. And it's been being done, I guess, for the last several months, and improvements have been made.
Yes, we made some improvements. We've done some painting. We've repaired some of the doors and windows. The Veterans Center has done a terrific job. Those guys do a remarkable job. And, of course, even the preservation group have done a good job in cleaning up the jail and putting some flowers around it. We're going to blacktop that parking lot in the future. We don't want to do it right now with all the construction going on. We'll wait on that because we'll wait till the aqueduct is finished and try to blacktop that whole area and make it a much more attractive area. Right now, they're up there digging up the drain lines. Those things had kind of collapsed. They weren't really doing their job, and we had a lot of – anytime it was a good rain, we had kind of a little flood down in the basement area, and those are rented out to individuals, and they pay a fee to have those art studios, and they were getting flooded. And so we've put some money into trying to dig those up and redo the lines, and they're about three-fourths of the way finished. Hopefully by the end of the week we'll have that project complete, and then we'll have to wait for the spring to bring some flowers and some grass to those areas. But it's progress in the making.
The old jail building is coming along, too. They want to turn that into a center for what they call dirty arts, which is like metalworks and
ceramics,
that type of sculpture.
And those types of things. It'll be something hopefully good. I mean, they've got high hopes, but it takes sometimes money to make those high hopes occur, and they're out trying to do some fundraising. And hopefully they'll be able to do that. But I know we've helped on some of those things as far as trying to get the building. We pressure cleaned some of the dirt and grime off the buildings. They look a little better, and a little paint here and there on the stair steps has made it look better. So we're trying to do our fair part of trying to make this a better place to look at and make it more attractive, because you hate to put a $100 million building or $50 million building right there in around some eyesores. So we're trying to spruce those up.
Okay. Well, kind of another subject. I know that we're kind of, and I hate to say this because I know what it means, we're on the cusp of winter in a sense. We're here in mid-October, but before you know it, here in December, the snow will start to fly, and that means your guys from the road department will be out there with their salt spreaders and their plows and things of that nature. Have they been working on their equipment?
Yeah, we've had one of our trucks went down. Hopefully it'll be back in the near future. Those things happen. You've got older material. I think it's a 1994 truck, and it's they eventually wear out just through a rod and pistons, and it was just, it's a mess. We had to basically have it rebuilt completely, and we've just put a bid in, awarded a bid for another used truck. We hope it's going to be able to get us up to where we need to be. Still need maybe one or two more people out there to work, maybe even put some seasonal people on in the winter time if we have to have them. But we're making progress. We've our salt, we've got about 200 tons. We've got enough to get us through maybe the first one, but I think the other will be here in about a couple of weeks to have. We'll have another 400 tons of salt ready to do battle against the snow.
And as you know, the big worry is if you get a lot of snow, you start to get low on salt, and then salt becomes scarce.
And then the price goes up. But now we've got a contract. We're going to actually come in a better. We did went with the state or CAECO on a reverse auction bid, and we wound up saving $3 or $4 a ton on our salt. So actually saving money. We're tickled about that, and it's a good supplier, and we're tickled about. We think we're going to be ready for this winter.
And there are a lot of people that don't have that advantage. And as you know, in the past, we've seen counties and cities have been in trouble.
Been in trouble and paying high prices for being in that trouble. So
which has caused problems with their budgets.
We're trying to stay ahead of the game the best we can.
Yeah. You mentioned the truck. How much is that going to set you back?
I think it's with the bed and everything, it was about $29,000, which for that type of truck, you're looking at over $100,000 for the bed and truck. And we got a good used deal on a truck, and my road foreman has been out there, and he's driven it. He thinks it's got a 30-day warranty on it. It's not a lot, but with that kind of price, you can afford to make a mistake occasionally. But you go here and buy a $100,000 truck, you still have no guarantee it's going to hold up in some of these winter type situations. So we think we got a good deal on it. We did a bid on it, and it was the only one that came in on the bid. So we're tickled to have it, and we think we got a good deal.
Got a little bit of time left, maybe about a minute or so, a minute and a half. How's the budget right now?
Budget's in good shape right now. We've got some surplus funds there to help in case there's a need. We're hoping, that's not going to happen. Let me mention, we just passed an identity protection program for all our county employees, and we got a real good deal on it. It's about $3 a person per month, and it'll do identity protection. We think it's a step in the right direction. We couldn't give a pay raise, but hopefully we're giving a little benefit to some of our employees. Actually, one of my magistrates actually had some identity theft and lost about $300 out of his bank accounts. I think his testimony probably helped us pass that yesterday. The other thing I'd like to touch on is real quickly is the needle exchange program. The Round County Board of Health actually made a vote. They passed it unanimously that we need to do something in that area. It's a problem. The city council in their meetings yesterday, I think everyone said they were in favor of a needle exchange program because we've got a problem here in Round County, and not just in Round County, but around the surrounding counties even worse. But it's going to hit us as well, and it's an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. I'm going to have a group to come and speak to my next court meeting. I think I've probably got enough votes to pass it, but I'd like to get unanimous approval, and we're going to bring some people in to try to explain why this is a valuable program, why we need to do it. It'll actually save us tax dollars in the long run and may save lives as well.
All right. Dr. Blevins, as always, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you. Have a good day, Chuck.
Again, that's Rowland County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins on Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. See you next time.